You've been placed on hold. Please wait. You've been
2 minutes before it started.
What's that, sorry, mate?
I said I took a screenshot because George was on the call 2 minutes before it started.
Fucking hell. Hello, guys.
Don't be framing that and putting it in, up on your bedside table.
In the bathroom. Is that Jace? Are you on?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, cool. Hi, Jace. Are you travelling down at the minute, or are you still up north?
I'm still up north. I will be travelling down shortly. I might come down tomorrow, and then be on around on Monday.
Yeah, no worries. Right, okay, we're all on. Alex, I think you're happy just to scribble some bits and pieces down as we agree on them or don't agree on them and so on. George, thanks for putting it together. It is, as always, very in-depth and quite long, but I don't think we should get too stressed that we don't manage to achieve tons on our inaugural meeting. I think the important thing here is to look through it and suggest collectively, look, some of these things we can take offline, some of these things need to be a separate discussion, and so on and so forth. I assume, does anyone object to that?
No.
All good. Okay, so number one, apologies. We don't need to do that. We don't need to go through seconds because we're all the firsts and we're all on. Does anyone want to comment on the consultant attendees?
No.
Okay. I guess, I mean, my understanding, and George, you might want to elaborate if necessary, but my understanding is that on some of the weeks where we're discussing a particular topic, let's make it an easy one. Let's make it sing. There you go. Mm-hmm. One would probably want to be inviting people such as Mehul, Adam Vos, in that respect that makes sense. Is that kind of what that reasoning was behind it, George?
Essentially, I mean, it's if it's going to add value to the conversation, then obviously they should come along, I think.
Yeah, and if we're talking about central, if we're talking about strength coverage, Yogesh on. If we're talking about invoicing and billing and taking it over, we get Albie on and so on and so forth.
Yeah,
all good. I think we're all understanding of that then. Approval and review of last meeting. We don't need to do that. We don't need abbreviated minutes. Action log review. I assume this is what we decide to action in particular, we review that's been done.
The way we used to do it at RAN historically, and I've seen done at other places, is you basically, yeah, as you write the minutes, just when you come across an action point, just put AP or a circle or something to identify it, and then that just gets captured as action, and you just capture who's responsible for doing the action and the date, the next relevant update should be given back to the LSC.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay.
When we finally get round to getting an executive assistant / cleaner / salesperson / analyst, they can obviously pursue the minutes and make sure that those people who are down to do something have actually done it. I don't know what the best thing to do next is, and I obviously, because there isn't a right or wrong way, it's just what we think is the correct or easiest way to do it. There's a massive brain dump of topics. Some of them, as you can probably understand and agree, such as Trade the News or TFX, is probably a meeting on its own. Now, I don't know whether we should go through all of the particular titles. So Priority Matters, TPS, Seeing, SP Consulting, and put them into buckets that are better utilised for either a separate call or a different week. I'm really open to suggestions about what the best way would be. Yeah.
Or could we maybe go with what you and I, and I think Alex and was always on the same page in terms of what we talked about over this week, just as a suggestion, that effectively maybe the best thing today, and obviously we're sort of finding our feet, is to sort of work through, just quickly skim through, maybe spend 5 minutes skipping through the agenda and identifying the key things that people might want to bring up today. Let's try and make, 8 points in total or 10 points in total. And then over the course of the next week, do what you suggested, which is like to basically then go, for us to kind of work on an email basis and allocate things that we think should maybe go to like a quarterly meeting that might include shareholders or directors or whatever. And then also then put other stuff that would be like is nice to have, but it's not kind of current operational stuff, and let's put it into kind of strategies, because effectively I think what we're sort of all kind of agreed on is that if you have like five people on the LSC, five functional areas underneath those people, and ideally we have, each area will soon have a plan and strategy for that area, which will accumulate in the overarching sort of strategy for the business. But then that enables people to kind of go, well, actually, I'm not going to address. So, for example, I don't know if this is true, by the way, but Jay, say, for example, WebRTC, you're like, well, yes, that's on my radar, but realistically, I'm not going to be touching it for 6 months. I'll put it into the IT strategy, but I won't be bringing it up at the LSC or at the quarterly meeting for 6 months. So that's the only place it will be for now. Maybe just today, just to kind of go through, and it doesn't have to be the things on this list, by the way, or this draft agenda that I did. It can be things that people want to bring up as key matters for the business right now. As I said when I sent it out, I may have missed things, I don't know, so.
Okay, that does make much more sense, because a lot of the filtering different topics into different buckets can be done offline and agreed offline on an email. George, do you want to go through and pick out what you want prioritised and discussed on this meeting, and we'll do it like that, round table, and I'll literally just circle whatever you want.
Do you mind if I sort of go last, because I think it's important other people, this meeting's about you guys moving forward in that direction and with that structure, so I think it's important that other people kind of raise the main points they want to raise.
Okay. Lince, have you had a chance to look through all of the sections and subsections? And if you have and you've got it in front of you, do you just want to highlight what you want to bring up today?
Well, from a desk perspective, naturally my focus on HR, I've had a lot of departures, a few new arrivals, but there are a few guys on the desk that we need to try and tied down. We're running too close now. We need to keep the Ocean board, keep Danny on board, and the rest can fluctuate around that. But you need to kind of move a little bit quick now because every less, a lot of people are leaving and the people are getting a little bit about that.
Okay, so that's section 9, if everyone's in agreement with me. It's section B, which is current staffing and recruitment. Desk skill base, Henry, EA, sales, HR, new starters. I think we can skip current performances. We're not looking at who's there and how they're doing. Internships, apprenticeships, whatever. That can kind of come into part two above. And obviously remuneration of senior team. Let's not look at bonus shares, benefits, quick wins. George, remuneration committee, is that a separate subject to remuneration of current senior team?
Yeah, probably not appropriate for today.
Okay, cool.
That's basically, going forward, who makes decisions on salaries and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, in which case then, I think, Lince, you're going for 9B, 1, 2, 3, and 6. Thank you. Alex, why don't you go next as you begin with I as well?
Oh, I'm sorry to interject. Is there anything else that Lynch, that you want to cover on the desk, mate? Sorry.
Beg your pardon.
For the purpose of this call, no. As Aubrey's already touched on, a lot of these things in themselves are separate meetings. I'm kind of more looking to just kind of make sure things don't escalate on the desk more than anything. We're getting on fine with a lot of things. We just need to make sure people are there to do them.
Okay, good. There's one thing, Lynch, which I will ask before we move on to Alex. What might be the most convenient time to have either yourself or a desk representative doing this on a weekly basis? And I appreciate if there's suddenly a terrorist attack and markets go mental, then clearly that's an act of God. Well, not God, but there's not much we can do about that. But generally speaking, if, for example, you need as many in the room as possible so that you can attend or you can send Yogesh or whatever, what's roughly a better time for you?
1:45 to the 1:30 day is out the way. So 1:45, 2 o'clock.
Okay, so
team are in.
Shall we aim for 2 p.m. on Tuesdays and fingers crossed that thing we don't have a terrorist attack or something?
Yeah. I think it's all, for me, it's always going to be slightly subject to market conditions. If there's, like a Tuesday where there's loads out, but the Wednesday is dead and there's nothing out, then my preference would be to have it on the Wednesday.
Any objections from anyone on that?
No, but obviously...
Go on.
Just saying that obviously, I know it's difficult, but obviously... You know, I guess like other people might have the problem if we sort of on a Tuesday suddenly can't do it because of stuff on the desk, which is totally understandable. Then obviously the problem might be, let's say Alex is out at a meeting, he's got a meeting booked for Wednesday. That's the only thing I'd be aware of. So I think as much as we can possibly stick to the time,
it'd be ideal, but
of course we have, well, the desk is what the desk is and the nature of the business.
I think nine times out of ten we'll know... what's happening, let's say we probably already know that next Tuesday, let's say, could be busy. There could be a ton of day throughout earnings. It could be a Brexit meeting or whatever. So we probably know way in advance. It's only really the acts of God that are going to screw us up. Okay, Lynch, if you're all happy with where we are with yourself, then Alex, have you got some of the things that you want to pick out of here to discuss today?
Yeah, I think... for me, clearly I think elephant in the room is the integration of Stuart into the office on whatever basis that is. I know that he's got some value to add. It's how we go about extracting that and making him feel as though, you know, he's got a contribution to make. I do know he can also not be a drain on resource, but you know, if his head's not in the game, then, you know, that poses other problems. And I'm not apportioning blame there. I'm just saying what it is. I think we need to get this sorted so that we make a decision one way or the other and we move forward. And I'd like it to be that he's part of it, that he is contributing, that he feels valued. I think some of that is in his own head rather than coming from me or people here. But
okay,
I think that is. Over and above everything else, and I see them all being important on the business development, sales, marketing, digital marketing side. I think if we can get that squared away, then we start to move forward, hopefully very quickly.
In my opinion, then, that's 3C, Priority Matters, SP Consulting. So we'll come back to that. Sorry to interject. Anything else, other things on there, Alex, that you think we need to square off today?
I need to have a catch-up with Jace.
Yeah.
update at some stage on this IPC development with regard to potential BOE feed and a test that we might be able to get run next Thursday, which, you know, could put us in a position where we have a product available to clients come the next monetary policy meeting, which is just a brand new revenue stream. So I mean, that's a hugely positive thing, but we kind of got to try and put some ducks in a row.
Okay, cool. So that's something you guys can do offline later on. Unless, of course, Alex, you're meaning to bring up IPC for the attention of all. Your choice, really.
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to move that forward. You know, I think we've got a bit more traction after yesterday and me meeting Rob and Yanni on the case. I think they're busting their gut to help us find a solution for this BOE, but
I
probably need to speak to Jace.
So that's one to be taken offline. So Alex, anything else on the agenda from 1 to 13 that you want to address today?
From my perspective, there are, you know, a strategy review. I think we need to put something in place that brings the functional groups together and set a pathway where we want to go. You know, I think that's going to then clearly define what each of us in our separate teams really focus on moving forward. So I think that is something that needs to be addressed early doors as part of this meeting. Not this meeting, but this form of meeting. Look, there's quite a lot of this that I see as potentially being shareholder focus. That's all I'm going to say at the moment.
Okay, mate. That kind of is a strategy review, I think, where everything comes together. So we're all aware that is probably one of the main things we want to achieve. It probably won't be achieved today. Yes, your point is noted, or at least you can note your own point because you're taking notes.
Yeah, I'm doing it.
Thank you. Okay, Jace.
I kind of concur with the others mostly. I think IPC, SP, and staff are probably the key things. I think that the recent staff sort of upset or changes, etc., are a pressing issue because we can't afford to lose anyone now. You know, particularly someone like Yogesh. That goes well ahead of probably most other things, in my opinion. IPC, I think, is important because the time criticalness of it, there are certain aspects in terms of, you know, events are at certain dates, i.e. Bank of England, so I think that's a priority from an IT point of view well. SP, I think I know that's been touched base with me and George as well yesterday. I kind of agree with everyone else on that. I think everything else follows after that.
I'm going to add then 5G, which is IPC, and I'm also going to add 10B, which is IT staffing.
Yeah.
Desk technology, blah, blah, blah. Cool. Shall I go next then? As George, you want to go last? If I'm honest, and I guess the advantage of going towards the end is these are pretty much exactly the ones I would have brought up myself. So it's immediate firefighting which is current staff, blah, blah, blah. I won't go through it all. So that I don't see anything on here, just whizzing quickly through, that I need to add that we've already brought up. So I can hand to George. What would you like to add to today's priorities?
So basically, again, I concur with the things that have been raised. One thing that I'd like to just ask or touch on with everybody is basically, you know, what our kind of feedback or what the market view is out there in terms of, you know, what the competitors are up to, you know, whether that be Live Squawk or ITC or Trade the News or whoever. Have we got any insight? Do we know how they're doing? How are our sales? Are they taking our clients? Are we taking their clients? That sort of thing. So kind of like to pick up on competitive landscape effectively.
Before I forget, Sam did mention something earlier. He was speaking to the Live Squawk India guy, and apparently he's left because he wanted to cut ties with SP. And Sam, basically they're building like their own terminal kind of thing, which is basically just putting all Reuters headlines and Twitter. But Sam didn't know if that means it's just another way for Harry to go away from Stuart. He didn't know if Harry was going to talk with this guy. That's just what I forget.
Okay, yeah, brilliant. Thank you, Lynn.
That's quite useful. I think it kind of, I guess that leads to, I guess the other point, which is, you know, there is, and I don't really have an answer to it, which is why I'm kind of half hesitating, and I'm not sure where the conversation can go, if anywhere, but I'm a little bit at a loss, because basically we have the right as a company to buy shares in Live Squawk Holdings and so on, which would give us various rights to access documents and obviously basically own a part of micro-latency. The problem is I don't really know what power or, you know, opportunity that creates for us. I want to raise that point, but I guess I'm asking the group, does anyone have any ideas about, you know, how potentially owning 48% of lives of micro-latency could help us? I don't know. I haven't really had a chance to work out in my own head either.
Okay.
I don't really know who works there, but surely whoever works there, they'll just be like, yeah, you can have it. Then they'll just fuck off and go set their own thing up. I can't imagine they'd ever stand for it, do you know what I mean? So there'd be something that'd be operational under our ownership.
Yeah, I know. I think the general gist is obviously we do not want to get involved in spending a load of money on any more legals.
Yeah, I mean, if like Harry turned up and he's owned 20%, blah, 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 you know, I just stopped working. I'd be like, okay, I forgot the password to the Reuters, sorry, mate, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, then they'd surely do the same. It's a dead end, isn't it?
Yeah, there might be a free way to leverage it through what's happening with the administrators and Adronico. So that's the only option I can think of that wouldn't cost anything and might result in some outcome. But I don't know what that is at this point.
It's got to look in past.
Okay, so
it can't look I
think that's basically number four strategy, and it's competitive review, which can be expanded upon how the competition doing. What's happening with Live Squawk and so on and so forth.
And 6F.
6F, brilliant. Thank you.
And the only other thing was, the only other thing was, wouldn't mind just touching base on white labels in terms of, you know, where we're at. How have we got a position for that in terms of a proposition to go out and sell? And what we're pricing at. I'm not saying we should have it or we should be doing it. I think we should in the future, but that should be raised up. I think it's a way to, you know, get some good sales and capture some markets. And so I think it's something maybe Stuart could pursue as well when he's remotely, you know, working from home, things like that. So,
okay, all good. Anything else? That is 5F, by the way. So effectively, I know there's... CRM wants to be brought to the table, but I don't think we're going to be able to crack that into this week. I think it'll go on for too long, in my humble opinion. And I also realise that Stuart has asked us to bring up the subject of Heather's proxy again, I don't know if that's something we can address now, but I'm open to what anyone else thinks. Right. We might as well, for want of a better route, if everyone agrees, just literally go down the agenda at the ones that we've ringed off and do it.
Yeah.
Is that fair enough?
Just on your last point, Heather Proxy thing.
Yep.
I have seen your email and I haven't replied because I don't really have an answer. As in,
no.
And actually, when you asked that question, I know it's probably for me to respond. I just wondered if Jason might have said something in terms of whether he has an inside look at that. But I don't think everyone needs to be involved in it. Ultimately, it's somebody that is willing to kind of, well, be Heather's proxy.
Yeah.
We'll take that offline. Yeah.
I don't have an answer, basically, at the moment.
Right, so I think that's probably Jason, George, that's an offline thing. At least then there's an answer if Stuart comes pestering. How did the meeting go? Did you do this? Did you do that? We have an answer, as opposed to going, we don't know. All good then. Thanks, George. Right, the veritable elephant in the room, Mr. Pettman, couldn't be more appropriate title for him, really. We all have different views about Stuart, some good, some bad. I don't mind starting off by saying I don't want to go back historically about whether he has been treated fairly or unfairly. What I do know is of the person is that he may well have a lot of experience. He might be able to get some good sales leads. But as a person in the office, he is exceptionally difficult to work with. He is either up or down. Now, don't get me wrong, we all have our good days and bad days, but in an exceptionally childish manner. And it can be very exhausting and debilitative to whoever happens to be sitting nearby. Having said that, I do appreciate giving no chance at all and to have him only working from his home 5 days a week also probably isn't the best way forward because he does need some attention. That's my two penneth worth. I think that there might be a quorum here that he comes in for a day a week, or maybe two, but let's just say a day at the moment, at least from my opinion. He works with and answers to Alex in the first instance, and then up to me, and so on and so forth. I've opened it up, and I'm willing to stop talking now if someone wants to add their bit.
I think my stance is fairly simple on this. I kind of agree. I think the problem with Stuart is previously he's been in a booth or in 1080, and that has probably made the situation worse because he then gets upset and then kicks up in a storm. And then he also had the whole Kelly Tinkler issue, which probably has tarred his reputation, and I was quite frank actually. I spoke to Stuart about this a day or two ago, and I said, I know that's not his fault directly, that's an external pressure, but yeah, he does need to be consistent in the office in terms of attitude towards things. So I think we should, it should be a day a week. It doesn't necessarily need to be a day that you're there, Aubrey. I know you sometimes struggle with him.
Oh, brilliant. It's Sundays then. Fantastic.
But if that's the case, then obviously Alex and you obviously have your days aligned. So maybe it's a case of swapping days around or whatever, because Stuart generally works with me or Alex, doesn't he, as a rule of thumb?
Yep.
Yeah. I've spoken to him before, and as soon as you get speaking to him, you're just there, kind of just stuck with him. So if you can, I don't really like taking my guys off too much or something. I don't want them just saying like, absolute bollocks for no reason. Yeah. if he wants to go for the desk, go for me or Yogesh. I don't think it needs to expand any further than that.
Agreed. No, I mean, he can be a bit, he does tend to quiz people a little bit, doesn't he?
Yeah.
It's kind of like an interrogation sometimes. I've seen him, you know, in the evenings, sort of interrogate Yogesh and then Henry and then Beatrice.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, what I guess we need to do is we need to remind him that coming into the office for a day doesn't mean that the other 3 or 4 days he does fuck all. The point is that he can use Aiden as a proxy to be setting up trials, blah, 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 the same as
yeah.
Brad does. But I do appreciate by having him in a day of the week, he can sit and go through things and feel like he's loved and
yeah.
that sort of stuff. I'm not bothered what day it is. I'm happy for Alex to liaise with him. Personally, I would have thought a Wednesday makes sense because it's the day after we've had a leadership meeting, so any actions that we need to make him aware of, he's going to be around the next day. And secondly, of course, it breaks the week up nicely so that he can do some Monday, Tuesday, get some social interaction with colleagues in the office on the Wednesday, and then Thursday and Friday at home. But that's, again, just a logical offering,
yeah.
and I'll go with whatever everyone else thinks.
I'm going to throw a curveball in. I think having spoken to him, I think his expectation will be to be in more than just a day a week.
Yeah.
I'm only putting it out there because I think that's where we're going to end up getting to. I totally agree that I just don't think it's neither practical nor workable 5 days a week. Certainly not if, Aubrey, you weren't around and then, you know, left to his own devices.
As much as Jason was very kind in saying I don't necessarily need to be there, I think,
yeah.
unfortunately, I probably do, just
yeah.
in case he does something stupid. I don't mean stupid as in runs up and down the corridor naked. I mean goes and sits next to Adam on the desk and starts talking about central banks and doesn't leave the room type thing, if you see
yeah.
what I mean.
I mean, I think the other way we do this is we say there is a day in the office and then around the rest of the week, if we want to schedule, like any normal business, if we
yeah.
want to schedule some time to talk to the guys on the desk about product development, about new initiatives on, I don't know, sentiment analysis that we can capture, and how we deliver that, then I think, you know, like a normal business, we set up meetings.
Mm.
So, of course, it can come in the rest of the week, but they will be defined meetings. I think the problem that we've had is a laissez-faire attitude
mm.
to him
mm.
being in and around people and then pulling resource from, you know, the desk, which is business critical.
Mm.
So I think that maybe occurred because there wasn't anyone defined managing him as such.
Yeah.
So maybe under this new structure, we can eliminate some of those behaviours because, in all honesty, we've maybe fostered some of those as well. I'm not going to point
yeah.
the finger at myself or him or anyone, but I think if we set the ground rules, it's a day and a half, and then we'll have scheduled meetings that you want to come and talk to people about this, and we can coordinate that with times when the desk feel as though that's going to be viable, or Alex is going to understand it's viable because he's got, you know, shitloads of work when it comes to reconciling payments and all the rest of it, the billings run. I think, is that a manageable solution? So that's a halfway house between a bit more than just a dedicated day.
Yeah.
It's managed.
Can I add something to it, just as a kind of adjunct, really, to what you've just said, Alex? Is, you know, is there a way as well at this point to say, you know, because I think I agree with you. I think there is an expectation more than a day. But maybe the way to say is, look, you know, there have been some difficulties in the past. Let's be honest about it. You know, as we've all said, maybe we've all had our part to play or whatever. But, you know, let's do a day a week, see how it goes. And, you know, that's step one. You know, it's like, you know, if he comes in on that day and it's and suddenly, you know, and this is what I just spoke to him last night, and I did try to say to him, I was like, look, you know, I mean, it's obviously a hard conversation, you know, but it's like, I said, just, you know, just build the faith, you know, just start, you know, working with people, building those relationships, making it work, you know. So maybe if we phrase it like that, as in, look, let's do a day a week, some ad hoc meetings if needs be additionally, as you're saying, Alex, and we'll go from there. Let's just make that day work first, and then we can talk about the future in due course.
I mean, it's not that he's not going to be interacting with us, because presumably during the week he and I would be spending time, face time with potential clients and other business opportunities. So, yeah, the concept of him stewing in his front room, sort of annoyed that he's not in the office, shouldn't be the case. But I think, yeah, a day, say Wednesday, and making sure that we have a plan for that Wednesday, but a plan for the rest of the week, I think is where we've fallen down.
I mean, to be honest with you, though, surely the plan, I mean, if you're happy to work with him on the plan, but I mean, I would have thought he should really do it. He should come up with that plan himself, arguably, in terms of I'm going to be in the office one day a week. I'm going to try and structure my day right. Going in the morning, speak to Aidan, make sure my trials are up to date, get my new ones, make sure they're happy and they're going in the right direction. Then I'm going to try and touch base with Alex for an hour, or you know, maybe I think actually it would help. Now I'm saying it, I think it would help Alex. You know, if you do work with him to maybe provide some structure to that day, you know, maybe get. You know, time with Aubrey, whatever, and go from there. I think, you know, I think sounds like a plan.
Yeah, I mean, what we can't have is what he did before, which was on one given day, he'd walk into the office, say goodbye to everyone and hand his card in and say, that's it, I'm done, blah, blah, blah. And then, fuck me, 2 days later, he comes back. That is not acceptable. And, you know, he's 40-something years old. He's not fucking four. So, it's been
one thing.
I've reminded myself, we are 8 minutes past 11 and we're still on the elephant. But, sorry, Jason.
One thing I was just going to add very briefly is I think Alec doesn't always delegate stuff as much as he could to Aidan. And I think that's probably one thing where Stuart can work with Aidan a little bit. And obviously Aidan, I think, is a resource that should be tapped into. That's
I
not
agree.
Always as well utilised as he should be. Because I know Stuart gets quite frustrated about trials not being set up and this, that, the other. So he needs a kind of a contact and somebody in that regard. So, just trying to work on that, I think, might be a...
All right. That's a good point. Okay, I think we're all on the same page. Is there any objections to at least once a day, plus there will be ad hoc meetings and other things? We'll encourage him to work with Aidan more. Alex, you'll attempt to breastfeed him where possible, and I won't look.
And can I ask, Aubrey, are you going to communicate this to him? Sorry, Matt, I put you on the spot, but I think it's probably
I'll tell you what I suggest, if that's okay. I will sit with Alex tomorrow and I will sit with Alex tomorrow and we will come up with a diplomatic probably email, but I don't know. Alex might say it's best to call him. I don't know. But we'll come up with a diplomatic way of putting that across to him that sounds exceptionally positive.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
Fuck. Right, okay. We're done on that. Question to all, do we just crack on and go on to number four, or should we attempt to go and look at what we think is most important on the basis that it is now 10 past 11?
The latter, I think. I think it's absolutely critical. We address the HR desk issue, which is the point raised by him.
Thank you very much. So we've done the elephant. That's good.
As a footnote for the desk, George, we touched on this the other day, but in terms of communicating with the desk, obviously your situation is like an odd one, because no one's seen you for a year. So if you want to set tasks for people to look into things, business opportunities, that's fine. But I think when Jay sees an email from you and he hasn't even thought about you in a year, no disrespect, it is a bit odd. I can delegate thereafter, but as we've said before, I think it's just a bit odd reaching out to you directly on the desk.
I think I could have handled that communication better. It was meant in good faith, and I do note your point, and I'll chat to you offline about it, but ultimately I will. I think there needs to be something said about whether I'm working as a consultant and blah, blah, and sending straight to the desk and stuff and so on. I know you don't want me to do that, so I'll chat to you offline, because I think...
Okay.
I'm basically saying I adhere the point you're making. I don't think the communication was perfect. It was meant in good faith, as in, not everyone do this in 24 hours, but quick brain dump. Anyone got any views on this? Literally 2 minutes each. That sort of thing. But yes, maybe it didn't need to go to all the people it did go to. And I think more importantly, there probably does need to be an email, whether it's distributed by Aubrey or even by yourself, to say exactly what the roles are and what the new structure is. And I think there is a comms that needs to go out. And I think that covers myself and probably other things as well.
And also, Jamie votes on that email as well. I don't even heard his name until he's on that email. So the desk guys in CC and Jamie Vogt, it's just another pain in the ass for people like, who's this, blah, blah, blah. Again, he could be Superman or he could be a bin man, I don't know. And to start telling on work emails without telling the rest of senior management, I don't think is the best idea.
Noted.
Cool.
All good. Okay, thanks for your pragmatism, both parties. I think the line of communication, bearing in mind, and I think something, George, that it's hard for you to have been able to digest is that there are a lot of different places in that room. A number of them are young, haven't got a clue what's been going on historically, lucky bastards. And we need to just try and keep it exceptionally simple for them rather than them going, who's this, what's that, what are they doing, why is he doing this? But yeah, let's take that offline.
So, yeah? It's totally cool. Honestly, I accept the point that's been raised, and I know it in good faith.
Cool. Okay, so we're on to HR and people, current staffing. Let's stick with the desk then.
Can I just, on this point, just because I know it's Adam to lead it, but I have one question that I think is critical for us to ask Adam. And maybe you all, and it's ultimately, I think we need to, you know, be talking to the people. You said this to me, Aubrey, you know, we need to be talking to the key people and working out, you know, expectations, what, you know, what is needed or right and fair and equitable and incentivizing and motivating to secure their tenure and being part of the business. Because I think, as Adam says, I mean, it's critical. I mean, it's absolutely critical.
Yeah.
So we've got to work out what we can do. I think we need to crack on with that.
But we need one thing I've been asking for a while now is we need a staffing budget, because at the moment I have no idea whether we're running too heavy, I need to get rid of someone, or there's enough for us to go get someone at 50 grand. So I have absolutely no idea what we can and can't do, which makes life quite difficult.
So, because I haven't been involved in some of the recent recruitment, I'm not quite sure what salaries people are on. If you could send me the current sort of current company staff and salaries, if you can ping me that, or then I'll put together a staffing budget or a draft one for discussion.
Cool.
That's easy. I think, you know, the skill-based thing, I think we know what that is. We've lost a senior. We're having to educate juniors, that's a ball ache and takes forever. We have no choice. Henry is sadly going back to uni. The only caveat is if he doesn't pass his retake. Lynch, do we have any clue when he's going to find out his results?
No, I suppose to try and drop it in casually, so I'm going to speak to him again. I often say, like, oh, when do you get your results, blah, 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 blah. Henry seemed pretty confident that he'd passed it, though, so...
Okay.
But no,
could I possibly have a call with... I just conscious of time now on here. Could we possibly, sometime over the next week, have a call, or later this week, between Lynch, myself, and you all regarding... partly Henry, but also partly staff budget.
Works for me.
Fine. We can't Although put Henry any further in my regard. I've pushed him and I've actually gone beyond what I promised his dad. In as much as I promised his dad I wouldn't push him any more to join us, and so I've got Adam Linton to do it. I've kind of lied already. Okay, so we'll have an offline chat.
Just for my curiosity,
what's
sort of happening, I guess, with... You've obviously gone out and tried to recruit a few people. I know the desk is not really my forte, so I'm not going to be interjecting too much. I'm just more curious as to...
Yeah, sure.
You've got a couple of people lined up now, have you, or what?
Okay, I can update everybody on that. The internship, which is the placement program that Henners was on, we got into bed with Cass. Ironically, the guy who's going to start and replace Henry isn't from Cass, but hey-ho, shit happens. His name is Zach, and I've forgotten his second name, so doesn't help.
Eisman.
thank you. Zachary Eisman. He is starting on the 7th of August. The reason it's the 7th of August and not September, when Henry probably has already left, is to try and get as much handover to him from people like Henry and, more importantly, Sam before he leaves. So we have an intern starting, so that's good. New starters as a junior analyst, well... There are no senior analysts. That's the thing to add. We pinched the last senior analysts from Live Squawk, brought them here, and now they're buggering off. Well, Ant has gone where he's gone. Sam's going where he's gone. There is only ITC or Sigma. ITC, as we know, are predominantly fixed income dudes. We don't know them so well. So there isn't really any fish to pinch from the pond. So we are... having to resort to maintaining and keeping, as Adam said, our current senior staff as a matter of absolute urgency, and we are educating the juniors as quick as we can. We've gone through a process of advertising and then phone interviewing. We are down to two people. That's Nina and James. Again, can't remember the second name. James Stewart, Nina, can't remember. She did her trial day on Monday. James Stewart is doing his trial day tomorrow, I think, Lynch, isn't it? Yeah, tomorrow.
Yeah.
Once they've done that, we'll get the senior people together, which is Yogesh, Adam Linton, Danny and myself, and decide which of those we offer the role to.
Okay.
That is for another junior that will join Kevan, Beatrice and Sheehan.
Yeah.
On that
note, Linton will probably remember the Ranvier days, and I think I've brought this up before, particularly with the people going, etc. Recently, is it worth getting two people competing them against each other? I don't think it really worked so much with Beatrice and Sheehan because they weren't competing against each other too much. But one of the things Matt Chung very and Anthony, actually, for that matter, they very much got two people on and got them to compete.
It's almost had too many and then lose one.
It's better to hire more.
In my time, they only have happened once. And the guy that did do it less than 2-3 months. So I don't think it's not like, I don't know. I don't think it necessarily needs to change it.
No, I mean, the key thing Matt used to do is hire two and get rid of one.
Hire two, okay. Right.
Yeah, hire two, but you basically, in a sort of, when Adam joined, you nearly always got two people and one of them left at the end of their sort of probation period. It was the way it worked. I guess one of the sort of reflections is, although B is sort of ploughing along and getting there, you really want to have a bit more sort of churn and find the good people rather than spend loads and loads of energy.
I think it's a good idea.
But we achieved that now, though. That was the day when you used to pay people 20 grand. Now we're paying people more to get the better people in the first place.
Plus,
in the old days, pay absolute peanuts and then hope that one of them might be good enough, whereas now we're doing more targeted recruitment to try and get these people in the first place.
Yeah. I think you have to do it both, to be honest.
There's a couple of things where I can sort of meet in the middle on this. Is one, we have discussed this, myself, Yog, Adam and Danny, that we are not concerned, but yes, Beatrice hasn't been at the same speed as the others. We appreciate that and we realise that this might be an issue to address in the future, but with so many people leaving, getting rid of someone else is the worst time to do it. So we are aware of that one. Now, it might be actually that at the end of this week, when we discuss Nina and Jones, we could, albeit it goes back to what Adam was saying about budget, we could offer them both a job. But let's bear in mind, that's then two people on 26K, 3 months of whatever the fuck that is, $2,000. And then, of course, someone has to be a heartless bastard and say, sorry, you didn't cut the mustard, fuck off. That's part of life, I get that. Whether we have the resources to be training so many people in that time frame is something else we need to think about. Clearly, when we had Anthony Barton and we had Sam, then we had enough seniors that we could churn and burn. I think at the moment we're probably in the shit where we just need people on board. But again, Adam, this is your area of expertise and I'll go with the flow.
Yeah, we can take that offline as well. Another thing I know Scott, you mentioned, but on a HR perspective, Laura going, Evgeny going, one of Laura's main benefits, I'm not stepping on your toes here, Jace, is project management. I mean, obviously Jace is great at the IT, but I think the project management, like Laura's like organisation and meticulousness, that's something that's going to be missed. We need to figure out how that's going to, because also
maybe
office as well.
Maybe that can be helped a bit by if we recruit, a high quality EA person that they can assist with that.
That was going to be my comment, in fact. Thank you. Very quickly, before we come on to the other staffing, the remuneration of the senior team, I think, I have spoken with Danny and Lintz. I haven't really spoken to Yog because he doesn't like to talk about that sort of shit. And I have an idea, and I think I've spoken with you about it, George, about what kind of remuneration is going to keep people enthused. I think maybe that's something we have to take offline, and that discussion, George, Adam Linton and myself about the desk, I think we'd probably bring the remuneration into that, if you agree.
That's fine by me.
Okay, you, Lintz?
Yep, sounds good, mate.
Cool, okay, so then it's other staffing. Before I come on to the executive assistant, come whatever, 10B, staffing IT and Evgeny leaving. Jace, do you want to quickly address what your thought process is on that and what we've done with Archie?
Yeah, so my thoughts are, my main thing, and I spoke to George about this a little bit yesterday, my main thing with Evie is he's a really hard worker, he's a good worker, but he needs to be spoon-fed in bite-sized pieces. You can't chuck a big lump at him and expect him to do it without him being presented some sort of structure. Me being dragged into legals has made that
a bit of a cumbersome task because I'm either fighting a corner for legals with Stuart or et cetera, or with George, or I'm having, you know, and that comes at the cost of Evie, or I try and work with Evie, and that comes at the cost of upsetting Stuart, George, whatever. Do you know what I mean? Historically speaking, the fact that Nikki left probably had made it harder because Nikki was quite good at liaising with Stuart in my absence. So that had a knock-on effect. So I think if I'm to take anyone on, I want to be pretty sure that I've got time doing IT matters because if they are like Evie, they do need to be spoon-fed. I think we ought to have a short period where we see whether the dust settles without Evie. I think the problem with Evie is because I wasn't able to spoon feed things to him, his work dried up. And in order for me to give him work, I have to kind of follow it through with him and spend quite a bit of time with him. Wary of taking on someone and not being able to give them enough attention. So in the short term, I think don't go running around looking for a replacement. And then when we do, I think we should try and be very selective as to who we get. It's not a situation like the desk where you desperately need to get somebody in because a load of seniors have gone. Ultimately, if you look at it historically, I have managed on my own, albeit it's been a bit of a fucking ball ache for me. The other key thing, I think, as well, is when we do get somebody in, this is very similar to the desk, I think, in some respects. You spend quite a bit of time training people up. Therefore, you do have to be wary of how do you keep those people on. You know, Evie's going to be on 40K or just under 40K in his new job. He came on at 25K. If you're going to hire someone at 25K like Evie, you can't expect them to stay on 25K. They will go, 50K.
Chase, on that point, I do think, one of the things on this long, long agenda I do think we all of us need to look, both as a company and within our kind of functional areas, about ways, because it's normal for business to take people on and then people lose and people leave. But we could maybe by putting them on courses or using other retention techniques that, we can all go and read on the internet about retention techniques, but something that binds them into the company as opposed to just always trying to fix it as we have done with money to a large degree. I think that, we can probably, all of us, including myself, and do better in terms of when we bring people on, they're kind of like they've got an agenda in their mind, like, right, for the next 2 years I'm doing this, I'm training in Ruby Rails or WebRTC or, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're kind of like, right, that's my 2 years, that's what I'm doing. And therefore, I think that will help us with some of the retention issues.
I think it will.
Just one note, sorry.
Go on.
So one point on the legals, having spoke to Evie, obviously he mentioned that you were highly distracted by legals, which is obviously fair enough.
Well,
but I think
I had
we
that
need
conversation
to
be, with what, Evie anyway a few
one,
weeks ago to say.
One second. Yeah. One second. Can I finish your point, sorry, mate? And he was just saying that a lot of, obviously, your time is spent on legals, but it's also talking about legals at the expense of IT things. I think if you are with someone, we need to make sure that we're shielding the juniors from these legals.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not involved with them as you are, but I never speak to anyone on the desk about it.
No.
If I'm busy, I'm busy. And they kind of get that. People need to be burdened with it, or like you're going to spend time on it, it needs to be about IT, not legals.
Yeah.
I think that's a very, very good point, Lynch. And I think, we should also bear that in mind for this meeting, as in the topics that get discussed in this meeting, effectively this is senior management, if not a bit higher. And it's like, I think, we have to try and respect and keep our own counsel regarding matters that are discussed herein as well.
The key thing that I found very difficult is, like, literally Evie sees me have to go on the phone all the time and speak to... Well, not so much George recently, but, it was Stuart and George at one point, loads, because of all the fallout with contracts and then, there's been points, you know, where we were going to buy live squawk or whatever, and it's just basically where I come into the office, and what used to happen is I would basically end up being on the phone and not being able to speak to Evie about IT matters or anything really.
Jason, I do think the landscape is moving in your favour in that regard. Anyway,
I hope so, and I gather so, and that's why I say let the dust settle a little bit for a few weeks before we start hiring people. I don't want to be in a position where I can't give them attention.
Okay, so I was going to say it's 11:30. Are we willing and able to go
about
15 minutes? I'm sure we are.
Well, I was just going to ask if I could just have 30 seconds just on the point on what's going on with the competition. Has anyone heard what the competition's doing? How are we feeling we can doing against the competition? What's happening in sales? Do we feel that progressing or losing in that battle? Really, so basically just everybody's kind of input or knowledge about what the competitive landscape looks like in the market, because it, particularly for me, obviously because I'm away, it's very hard to have those little kind of chats over a coffee or like the bit you just shared earlier, Lynx, for example. You know, you get to hear those bits and pieces, obviously, when you're in the office and stuff. Do we have any further insight?
I'll keep this short then. So some anecdotal pieces. We understand through Stuart, not verified, but we understand through Stuart that LiveSquawk may, for certain clients, be offering a free Squawk service. I don't have any details on whether they are then just charging them premium for the central bank information, but we've heard anecdotally that people are on trialists that we have said, well, when LiveSquawk switch from a free service, we'll come to you. That's one or two instances, and you know, that information is what it is. I don't know how widespread that is, whether they're going targeting everyone with that kind of an offer at the moment.
I'm also conscious that Mehul, if I'm right, did I get this right, guys, off Valkyrie about a week ago, said that he thought Schneider was back in the Squawk game and he'd bought ITC or invested into ITC or something.
Yes, that's come from Stuart as well, actually, I think, possibly. I know that somebody who is closely tied with Schneider, has been reaching out, and it got passed to Mehul through word on the grapevine, basically.
Do we have any validation on that? I guess not. Or we don't know anymore, right?
I think that's rumour mill. It's market rumour. I don't think anyone's got.
I think the other.
Verified.
Yeah, but the other way of looking at this is, I think Schneider has deliberately distanced himself from LiveSquawk, because one of the things I noticed from Yogesh's conversations with Nicola Duke last year was literally within days of the injunction. Something was said from Nicola, who is basically Sonny Schneider's female mouthpiece, basically said, oh, it looks like Harry might be in the wrong after all. So I think Schneider will be looking elsewhere if he thinks LiveSquawk is messy. And he obviously hasn't been allied with Harry too much from what we can see. So I think ITC is a natural fit. He's not going to go to Sigma.
Okay, we could probably gossip for ages, but at least there is some factual bits and pieces, or maybe not so factual, but we could all certainly put our ears to the ground a bit better or a bit more.
Might be worth following up with Mehul as well.
I'll make sure the guys on the sales side are asking some pertinent questions.
Good idea.
For their interaction. Just to see what feedback is, what we're hearing.
All good. I'm aware of time. There's a couple of bits which I think we need to finish off on. One of them, just quickly going back to IP, we're retaining just Archie at the moment until the outlook is clearer. I do appreciate it would be good to have Archie coming in a bit. I know that the desk and the office have functioned much better by having an IT-centric person somewhere nearby. I don't think, and I've spoken with Jace, we don't need him in all the time, but I think we have at least suggested to him, mate, if you can come in a couple of days a week or whatever. He's a good lad. Everyone likes him and he works hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And the other thing, we mentioned about retention. That brings something up which I should have added. Kevin, for example, not Kevin, has inquired whether it would be possible for him to do his CFA. Is something that he can't afford to do on his own. Would the company be interested in helping, sponsoring, whatever? I've said to him that is something that would be taken to the leadership steering committee. I go back to him, and it's also, and in the meantime, I asked him to go and see how much it is and time taken and whatever. He's on holiday at the moment anyway, but it is an example of what George said.
Yeah,
we could probably touch. Sorry, mate, go on.
Go on, offline, yeah.
I spoke to him informally about it, and I was like, yeah, I'll raise it. But obviously, we wouldn't be paying for you to do it if you then to fuck off. There'd have to be some sort of retention involved. And he said, yeah, obviously. So it could be a quick win on that front rather than having to throw loads of cash at people in a panic.
Good.
We can follow up on it on the call on staffing budgets and sort of staff and, if that's available.
The last thing, Lynch, if that's all right, George, is you mentioned about Laura leaving and her positivity and drive and pursuance of whatever the fuck. Yes, we have been, we have advertised for an executive assistant / sales support administrator. It's an exceptionally hybrid role. It's kind of looking for a cross between Nikki and, I was going to say Anita, but someone who worked hard.
Sorry, mate. Which bit of Nikki are we trying to get?
I'm joking. I'm being facetious.
Just the brain, sir. Anyway, point is, this person needs to help me with sorting out HR stuff because I'm doing the bare minimum on that because I've got no one to hand it over to, for example. We always need help on the sales side of things. We need people coming in to take minutes at meetings to pursue the actions from meetings like this, and so on. In Laura's own words, she has said, listen, I don't think I would replace me. I think I've done as much as I can with digital marketing. Until you've got a sales team with the CRM, but let's not do that now, that can function aggressively, then you may need to start looking at digital marketing again. That's just what she said.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree with Jace. I think knee-jerk just to get in a title is not necessary. And what we have found is, and George knows this, and Alex definitely knows this, we had 60-odd applicants for this role. We got it down to, can't remember, I phone interviewed about 8 or 9, maybe a dozen of them. We are interviewing this week, and one of them are dragging to the week after next. So we'll have about 6 or 7, and they could not be more diverse, from the young and enthusiastic who could learn how to do it to the absolute all singing, all dancing, who could actually do digital marketing and selling and HR and spend 3 hours doing their nails. If you see what I mean. But, of course, that comes at a price. So there is probably something in between there that might tick a number of boxes. But I'll take that offline once we've gone through the process. But just to update you, Lynch.
It'd be good to catch up with you on that as well, Orbs.
Yep. Cool. All good.
That's the death now, guys.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we've done everything we needed to in the interim. I'll let Alex bullet point them. I'll sit with him tomorrow and try and smooth this through a bit. And I realise that there's a few offline things to do, but we also all have our day jobs. Thank you for everyone's positive input. Sure.
Cheers, guys. Well, Alex,
thanks very much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks in a bit. Cheers. Bye bye.
Okay. Cheers, guys. Thanks very much.